Awesome. Welcome, everybody. It's Elaine. It is Thursday, May 10th, 2018, and we are here on a PSS call, and this week we're going to be talking about non-judgment. So we've been chatting for a few minutes about some other things, so we're starting now, and we're going to dive right into celebrations and then taking aim. So, Kara, before you take, because I know you have a place you want to take aim, will you step back and just bring a celebration or observation or something to the table? A success, something.
Sure. Yeah. Yes. Well, you know what? There's two actually. One is this week and last week and planning next week. I've put some time together to have one-on-one time with each of my sons, which I fully want to celebrate because it feels like
that's
the right direction. Yeah. To find the time, make the time, and then to have it happen. And to enjoy it. So it just started, and that feels like such a good choice and such a good use of time and putting me on the trajectory I want to go on. So
brilliant.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I call it dating your kids. and that may have a bit of a different connotation as a single mom. You might have to be careful with that. But I've always believed in dating my children and dating each of them separately and making sure I have that space individually with them. It's a good reminder for me, too. And Julie, what do you want to celebrate?
This isn't really a kid issue, but I took on an accounting class, and I finished my class, and so I'm yay done with that. Hooray.
Awesome. So start, yeah. Commitment, finish, follow through.
Yeah.
Bravo.
Yes, thank you.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's good.
And I'm going to make it a kid issue for you now. You ready?
Okay.
You just modeled that for your kids.
That's true. I did. And I had hoped to use it more as like a time to do our homework together. And I did it a little bit, but often it was sort of like in a panic, oh, my gosh, the homework's due. I've got to do it right now kind of thing. I wasn't able to work it in as much as I had hoped, but
there's transparency there to have that conversation about, you know, I know how hard it is when you wait to the last minute because, you know, I did that more than I wished I had when I did that class, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. You can use anything, babe.
Yeah. I get creative.
Okay. Okay, so where do y'all want to take aim? Kara, you want to start? Because I know you've got something in mind.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I might need you to help me put it into a take aim, but I think maybe what we were talking about. So this, I'm really struggling with a few things. Well, and I mentioned the PMS. So it's a very busy week, and Mother's Day is coming up. The thing I'm really struggling with is attitude, basically, but it's just kind of meanness. Like yesterday, Declan told me I was ugly. He told me he hated me several times, which I can handle that one because I'm like, well, no. I said, yeah, you know what? I hear you. I think what you really hate is my rules, you know, because that's usually where it comes up. And I feel okay with that. Like I can deal with that. But it's just, I think with Mother's Day coming up, because both of my sons, my non-complex child and my complex child, both, like mother, like he goes at me. When he's upset with me, he goes at me and tries to find things to hurt me. He just gets mean. Like, I'm not doing anything on Mother's Day. It's the worst day. And even my non-complex child said, oh, it's my least favorite holiday. But then here's the big part, and this is where I've been having a lot of judgment, I'm realizing, because I think yesterday I used the words to myself, you know, entitled, spoiled, selfish, mean. I think I used mean to him. But he's doing this thing where he doesn't want to do anything for himself. And it's a purposeful thing. Like he'll say, I want some water. I'm like, well, you can go get it. Or even if I'm going to go, I'm like, okay, because maybe he's in bed. And I'll say, yeah, okay, I can get you. Make it snappy. I'm like, you know, that doesn't sit well with me because he's been doing this the last few days and it really triggers me. But I think it's triggering me a little bit more with Mother's Day coming up because I feel like, I deserve to be appreciated and, you know, treated nicely because I do so much. You know, I am a single mom and I do so much for them. And I'm like, oh, You know, so I'm kind of feeling sorry for myself is what it is. But then I'm also really struggling with that behavior that I'm calling entitled and spoiled is what I'm calling it. But it's not, you know, it's something else. It's something else. It's a way that he's responding. And I don't quite get it.
So I hear a couple of things. One is I hear you feeling a little sorry for yourself. And I think Julie and I both want to say, and you know what? You come by it rightly. You know, like, you do have a lot of stuff on your plate. And Julie, am I right? I'm speaking for you.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. It's hard.
You have a lot of stuff on your plate. You're a single mom. So you have all that more on your plate. You got a Hallmark holiday coming up that makes everybody crazy. You know, because it puts all these expectations and all. I mean, it's a crazy holiday anyway. Holiday is an interesting word for it. And, you know, you just, like, so this is where my kids would say, Mom, I just need a poor baby. You know, don't try to fix it. Don't try to tell me anything. I just need a poor baby. And so I guess I just want to give you a poor baby and say, well, no wonder you're feeling a little sorry for yourself, you know? Like, that's a lot. And it's hard. And there's nobody there at the end of the day saying, can I get you your slippers and pour you a glass of wine or a cup of tea, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, my invitation to you is to indulge yourself a little bit, maybe not in self-pity if that doesn't feel good, but in a little self-love. Yes, you deserve.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, that feels good to hear that. And I did a little bit of that last night. I had some wine. I read my book. My Harry Potter.
That's good. Julie, anything you want to add?
No, just have some compassion for yourself, you know, and remember you're doing a good job. You're doing a hard job. And those kids love you, even if they're little stinkers. That's my polite word. And so just every day is a new day. Just keep going. You know, that's what we all do.
Yeah. And just, you know, for the next few days especially, just do nice things for yourself. Because let me be honest with you. If you were a mom in what used to be called a typical home, that's no longer anymore, and there was, you know, you'd still be the one making arrangements for your own Mother Day.
Yeah.
This is correct. You know? Yes.
Yeah.
That's not any different. I promise you, it's really not. I mean, they look at me and they're like, well, what do you want to do? I'm like, you know, now they're old enough where I'm like, I just want everybody to leave me alone. But but it always fell on me to figure it out. You know?
Yeah.
So just know that that's part of the experience. And I like the word that you chose, Julie, is really hold yourself with compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and then the other thing I'm hearing is that where you really want to take aim is on sort of raising some awareness or curbing this sort of snarky behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and my judgment on it, too, because I've been having a hard time with my patients these last 2 days, and I'm pretty extremely patient, maybe too patient, you know.
Yeah.
And I said something to my younger son, because it's, you know, it's mornings and night times usually, and I said something to him last night. I think it was last night. Yeah, just say. I said, I'm really having a hard time being patient, because it's been, you know, it's been difficult for the last 2 days.
Yeah.
And
I hear it.
And he said, you're actually pretty decent. My little.
That is high praise.
And I know. I said, thanks, honey.
That is high praise. Okay, so the place you really, it sounds like we're taking aim is like thinking about how to redirect sort of mean behaviors. It's really, it's not their behaviors, but it's sort of their attitude.
Yeah, well, I want them, I mean, in the bigger picture, and this is, I want them to do more for themselves because I'm noticing I'm doing too much. But
okay, that's a different conversation.
That is a different conversation. So it's coming up in that context, though. It's like him pushing back on it in a way. But it's mean. I do. I want to curb the mean behavior.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, so it's snarky, actually, particularly when you're asking them to become more independent? Is that when it's happening?
It's kind of, not always, not always. It's that and other times, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's a great place to take aim, actually, because it narrows the field and helps you be more successful with what you're trying to do.
Okay.
You know, there's a big difference between redirecting snarky behavior and redirecting snarky behavior when you're asking them to do something, right? Because
yeah.
it's easier
well, and
to target that.
Yeah. Well, yes. And, well, the part that really triggers me is when I am doing something for them. And there's, like, no gratitude, basically. Well, it's entitlement. It's an entitlement. It's like, well, do it now and make it snappy. Yeah.
So that's a little different, which is maybe from what I'm saying, is what you really want is for them to sort of have some gratitude, is to express some gratitude, be more respectful.
Absolutely what I want is more respect, is more respectful behavior, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I think that's absolutely reasonable.
Yeah.
And I'm going to throw this out, but we may or may not come back to it, but I just want to ask you, are you familiar with the whole notion of the five languages of love?
I am, and I don't know anything about it. I mean, I've heard of them, and I've talked to people about them, but I've never read the book.
Okay. So let me just, don't read the book. Well, I didn't say that. But rather than reading the book, to start with, may I suggest that there's a webinar that I did several years ago. It's on the website under the webinars on the five languages of love for children or something like that. It's a one-hour webinar, and it'll really give you some clues on what the five areas are and how to use them, because my instinct is that you've got a kid who may be an acts of service kid, and understanding that may help you in this process.
No, yeah, when it comes to getting curious, it's very, you know, communication. He is actually has expressive language disorder on top of some other stuff. And it is really hard to communicate with them. So when it comes to getting curious, a lot of it is just guessing based on what I see. So I do wonder if he's associating it with, like, you know, my not loving him and how to shift that. And
will you take that as a homework assignment to go do that webinar?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and check back in with me, whether on the forum or however, but just or check back in with me and say I did it and this is where to learn from it.
Okay.
Great. Okay. Julie, where do you want to take aim today?
Well, as always, there's plenty to take aim on, but hearing Kara talk, we struggle with that in different ways with each of my kids. So with my daughter, when I ask her to do something, it's, oh, I hurt my pinky toe, or, you know, some woe is me, I'm tired, kind of an excuse why she doesn't want to pitch in to be part of the family. And then my son...
Yeah.
He's the disrespectful one, so he will be – he's not so – I mean, usually he'll do the chores when I ask him to do them or within a reasonable time, but there's certainly plenty of attitude that comes at various times throughout the day. So maybe I should take aim on my daughter and the chore, you know, just asking her to pitch in because I think it's reasonable, you know, pick up your own socks, you know, that, oh, well,
yeah.
I'm, woe is me, you know, she gets the sad face on and drama.
Mm-hmm. You're getting the same assignment of languages of love.
Love languages, okay. Hang on, let me write that down.
Yep, both of you go watch that webinar.
I'm in a room where they're doing construction next door, so I apologize. I'll try to keep it on mute.
We can't really hear it, just so you know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You're fine. We can't hear it, but if it's distracting you, I get that.
Okay.
Yeah, and what I want to also remind you is that it's very, very common to take aim first on, so with your son's issue, first you take aim on getting him to do what you ask. Once he's consistently doing that, then you take aim on getting him to do what you ask respectfully.
Right.
And you actually, that becomes the next, like, I remember so vividly with my daughter, first it was getting her to turn off the television. Then it was getting her to turn off the television without an attitude.
Right.
But we didn't do them at the same time. not, because it wouldn't have worked. So at first I had to put up with her being snarky while she turned off the television, because she was doing what I asked. And then we took aim on something different, which was the how she was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like he may be ready for you to take aim on, you know, really appreciate that you're doing it. Now can we talk about how?
Yeah.
That, just something to think about, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about non-judgment. And, theoretically, this is something we all get on some level, right? That judging doesn't serve them, it doesn't serve us, that we're constantly in judgment, right? We're constantly categorizing and assessing and determining and interpreting. So we can't not judge, but how we express ourselves makes a big difference. So, you know, we talk about it as non-judgment, but I really think we may ought to be talking about it as staying neutral, like holding a neutral affect and tone and perspective. Watching our tone of voice, watching the way we pose questions. The language I often use is matter of fact. How matter of fact can you keep things? Because the more matter of fact you are, the more effective you're going to be with your kids in helping them learn something. And I was having a conversation with a private client about this issue. And because her son had done something and she was pissed. And she had right to be pissed. You know, it's not that she was out of line to be angry, and that she wanted a punishment. And it was something significant enough where it could have warranted a punishment. But the conversation was to help her see that the punishment was not about helping him learn from it. That the punishment was about holding him, you know, was about holding him accountable for the decision he had made and what he had done. And, you know, she was upset and angry and, you know, felt like there needed to be a punishment. And we tried to make the distinction between punishment and consequence. Because consequence, generally, you know what it's going to be in advance, and this is the consequence if this happens or if this doesn't happen. Whereas, you know, somebody does something, you know, teenager lies or misses curfew or whatever. Well, misses curfew, there's probably a consequence clearly stated. But if they do something unexpected and you feel like there needs to be more, that may be more of a punishment. The punishments aren't designed for people to learn from them. They're designed to be punitive. And maybe they're a deterrent, but they're not a learning opportunity, right? And I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of punishment, but the point here was that what we began to realize in the conversation was that when we're angry or frustrated or upset or irritable, that's about us. When we're concerned, that's about them. And when we think in terms of practicing non-judgment and staying matter-of-fact or neutral or keeping that, it's about keeping our emotion and assessment out of it, so that we can be in curiosity, so that we can be open to learning, so that we can support them in learning and self-awareness. Because if we're angry, they're just going to get defensive, and there's no learning to be had. But if we can go to neutral, right, if we can go to what is there to learn from this, what's going on, curiosity, then there's an opportunity for them to learn something from it and to pull something from it. And all of this is about our tendency to inadvertently judge. I mean, I've had this conversation with several clients, I realized this week, where they've been often parents of teenagers upset about something where, you know, they've been telling me about it, and then I've sort of played back, held up the mirror and said, do you realize how much judgment is in your voice right now? And often we don't. We think we're frustrated, but what we're really saying is, how could you? And so really pulling that out and recognizing when we are going into judgment. And I like what you were saying, Kara, about there's judgment of our kids and then there's judgment of ourselves, right, which is no better. And it's not that we're not going to do it, but we want to recognize when we're doing it and begin to shift that approach. to modify, to bring that neutral back into it. And that's where I think what I really hit on today was that distinction between the anger is yours and the concern is about them.
Yeah.
And if we can bring ourselves to that place of concern, what's important about this to me? What am I concerned about? What do I care about here? That pulls us out of judgment and into a much more open, receptive place.
Well, you know, I mean, this kind of goes into future tripping, because when I'm thinking of my example of, you know, Declan, so I'm judging him as, I'm judging him as being entitled or spoiled. I'm judging myself as creating that by doing too much for him throughout his life. So taking that away and saying, okay, here I am, and, you know, I mean, there's two scenarios here. The one that's popping in my head is, you know, give me some water and make it snappy. Or
it's a great one. It's a great example, actually.
Yeah, and I hear it, you know, now. Because sometimes what I'll do is like, okay. Sometimes the answer is, I'm busy. You can get it for yourself. And, you know, that may go down one. And if I'm calm, that's okay. It's when I'm not calm. It's when I think, you know, I'm talking to myself through this. When I have a judgment about his behavior and what that means about him.
Mm-hmm.
See, he's saying
right.
this.
Then you're catastrophizing.
He's this kind of person. Exactly. Right. That's exactly what it is. Because that's what my question was going to be, well, what do I do when he's doing that? Because, I mean, yesterday I got to the point where, and it was, you know, it was a back and forth, and it was escalating because I was reacting to different things. Oh, yeah, I took the bait of, you know, I got tired of, you know, I hate you, you're dumb. Okay, dummy. I'm like, I'm done. I can't hear that anymore today. And I,
right.
you know, I told him, you know what? Sometimes when you're a woman, you don't, it's patient. It's one of those times for me right now. And probably I should have left that out because that's like fuel for him. Oh, really? Okay, let's see how I can poke the bear and what'll happen.
Well, so what comes up for me in that, and Julia, you know, jump in at any point, but what I'm hearing from you, Kara, is that you start taking the bait, and once you do, it's almost like you're in this loop.
Well, yeah, because I want him, and here's a bigger picture, like at night, okay, bedtime's 9, he's got to read for 20 minutes, has to take a shower every other day. I want to take a shower yesterday because he stunk. He didn't want to take a shower, so we had disagreement there. And, you know, the time management, I'm okay, well, you need to get in the shower. I don't want to take a shower. And, you know, that's just discernment of, like, okay, when do I just let that go? And probably last night would have been a great time to say, whatever, stink. You know, go ahead and stink. But I wasn't. I was kind of digging my heels in. And it kind of went, you know, and he wanted to play more of the video game, and I wouldn't let him. And that, I am digging my heels in. But it angers
right.
me. I hate you. No, you hate my rules. But it got to the point where I was like, Declan, just leave me alone. Because he was, you know, this is when he's off his medication and he gets very impulsive. He goes into his brother's room in the morning at night. And, like, this morning he broke something of his brother's. And I don't think he meant to. It was an impulsive thing. He gets in my face and he'll yell. He'll yell in your face. And it's like, it's jarring. And, you know, most of the time I can handle it, but not so much right now. And it's just those things like, Declan, stop. You know, you got to stop it. And so it escalated to the point where I was like, you know what? You need to leave me alone because I'm not handling things well right now. And he's not. He's poking the bear. And he said, you care about this? You like this thing? And it was something he made me for Mother's Day a couple of years ago. And he's kind of slamming it down like he's going to break it. And I was about to lose it. I threw a pillow at him. I did lose it.
It could be a lot worse than pillow. So there are a lot of places to go there, but one of the things that comes up is, do you have the kind of relationship with him when at the very beginning, when it first starts, to laugh?
Yeah, it's not my go-to. I need to practice that. Yeah.
Because that sounds like when he says that, make it snappy, if you could go back with, well, yes, sir, instead of you can't talk to me that way, right? You get a whole different playful response. And I'm not judging your response because like, it's late and you're tired, and I totally get it, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes he's young enough where humor is a good diffuser.
Yeah.
And a good, actually, way to raise the awareness. You can come back later and say, you know, it's probably not the nicest way to ask me something. Maybe in the future you could, you know, and you could have the conversation at a different time.
You've given, and I've used this, I think, successfully, because maybe I just feel better saying it, and I'll say, hey, can you, like, try again, or can you say that?
Another way to say that, yeah, right. That's, and it's another strategy, I mean, that's, it's an interim strategy before you get to the humor, right?
Right.
okay, but there's sort of two pieces. One is redirecting it in the moment, and one is coming back later and having a conversation about what happened in the moment, right? And they're both important. In the moment, what you're speaking to is how important it is not to take the bait, and what do you need to do for your own self-care, including saying, I'm going to the bathroom, or I'm whatever it is, to walk away and take your deep breaths and calm yourself back down so that you don't take the bait. And then, you know, figuring out strategies that work. And so that's just in that attitude. And then the other thing that comes up, and I want to leave it for the moment, is that there's, it sounds like you have some pieces where you have the systems in place, and if you can do a little work on getting buy-in to the systems, then you're no longer the enforcer of the system, and you can let the system be the bad guy. And I think that would serve you very well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yes, and I'm trying different ways of doing that, and so far my success is, because then it becomes, like, part of it is like, okay, if we have, you can play the video game during the week, which we didn't used to be able to do, but you can play it for an hour during the week, but we need to get the morning, we need to have the things done that need to be done in the morning and at night, and then, you know, it goes sideways, and then it becomes a punishment rather than a reward, because he's not
doing
it.
Which is like, working against you, right? So, I mean, so there's just some systems tweaking in there that, to work on. But as I say, I don't want to digress too much.
Yeah.
Julie, what's coming up for you as we're sort of going around?
Well,
about?
I'm thinking about the humor, and that's something that I think it works well for Logan to, well, and both of my kids really, to, he'll make a joke, and to me it's inappropriate, but he just wants a laugh. He just wants kind of a positive reaction out of it. And so I can totally hear him saying, make it snappy. And if I laughed about it in some way, you know, oh, yes, sir, or something like that, I think he would get a kick out of it, and maybe it would move along to something not so tense. And then there was something else I was thinking about the systems and structures. And in my case, too, with Parker and the chores, we have had some systems and structures in place, and then they just kind of fall apart for various reasons. And they were working, and so silly me for letting them fall. But I think to go back to that, you know, back to square one, just start again.
Well, and or I might treat you like you might treat your kids and say, okay, when we look objectively on what happened that you sort of fell away from the systems, when you get curious, what's a reasonable explanation for why that happened?
Probably it seemed like it was going okay, and like maybe we didn't need the structures anymore.
Right, and you don't really love structures to begin with.
Yeah.
And they're boring. And you were busy doing other things, like taking your accounting class. Right?
Right.
I mean, these are all real, legitimate reasons. They're not excuses.
Well,
they're just explanations. But when you make an explanation, then you can go back and say, okay, so it's time to try it again. But when you start making excuses, then you get into judgment of yourself.
Yeah. I think in our house, too, I'm the enforcer. And so
you get tired of it.
If Mark's not enforcing and I'm the only enforcer, it's like, come on, step up, help me out here. And you ask them to do their chores. Why do I always have to remind them to do the chores?
Right.
So there's frustration in there, you know, on my side, too.
Yeah. So you know, and then there's that tendency, like you did a pretty good job just then of not judging yourself for falling out of it, but just, you know, silly me, right?
Yeah.
But there's still underneath that a little bit of, well, if I had just kept the systems going then, right?
Yeah, of course.
Go there, right?
Yeah. It's my fault. So I couldn't keep my act together. Yeah.
Right. And so that's why I wanted to pull you to, well, let's look at why. Oh, well, there are half a dozen pretty good reasons why.
Yeah.
And it's not like it was, you know, death or taxes. I mean, it was, you know, it's a
system. No.
Right. They wane. You recognize it. You go back. You go, oh, okay, let's take this up again.
Yeah.
And non-judgment is about doing that without hitting yourself over the head. Right? I used to say when I first started coaching people with ADHD, at the very beginning of my coaching career, my big thing was put the stick down. The number one thing adults with ADD, particularly if they haven't been treated and they were just diagnosed as adults, the number one thing we have to learn to do is to put the stick down. And stop beating ourselves up because we have these well-worn grooves in our head.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
So how, bring this back around. How does this all, what comes up for you when it comes to thinking about your kids, either their respectful attitude in doing something or asking, you know, when you do something, or even with your daughter about, you know, getting her engaged. What's coming up on your particular issues?
I'm just trying to think about when, I guess I shouldn't be yet working on the details of how I'm going to deal with this. because
so
I
what comes
with
before
the judgment,
that?
Well, with the judgment, I judge my kids. I think, what do you mean you didn't? You when you were on doing your school testing, your state testing, you wrote an answer I don't know for a whole essay you were supposed to write. Like, what are you talking about? And so I try to hold that in, and I without rolling my eyes and just freaking out. But. It's frustrating. It's hard. It's hard not to judge.
So what if,
replaced
what do you mean with something else? What if you gave yourself a different mantra?
Oh.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe I'm surprised. But even
like, wow.
I'm surprised. It kind of rolls. It feels like I want to roll my eyes when I say it.
Yeah. It's a great example. And you got to give the kid points for resourcefulness for knowing it doesn't really matter.
That's true. It's only for the school's benefit. It's not for her benefit.
I mean, on some level, like part of some of our kids, what they really get, this is going to be a terrible thing to say, I'm just going to turn off the recording. What they get really good at, some of them get really good at working a system.
Yeah.
And that'll serve them in life really
yeah,
well.
It will.
You know, they get good at figuring out what's really important and what's not. And that's actually a prioritization skill.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
But what we're talking about is so it's interesting because we're talking about them, but we're also talking about how do we respond to them.
Right.
And so your default, Julie, is incredulous, right? How? What do you mean?
In some cases, yeah, yes.
Well,
what
let me say, when you go to judgment, that's your default.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah, you're correct, yeah.
Okay, and Kara, when you go to judgment, what's your default?
I think my it's probably catastrophizing. Like, what have I created?
Right. What kind of a person are you? Right.
Yeah. 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 It's a judgment on his person. Like, oh, you're mean. You're entitled. You're spoiled. What have I created?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I love that because the two examples in the workbook are sort of like, what were you thinking? Which is what Julie is saying.
Yeah.
And like, why are you doing that? Like, which is sort of what you're saying, Carol. Like, what kind of a person would do that, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I asked him yesterday, I'm like, why are you so mean to me? Why are you being so mean? Which,
okay,
of course,
Kara,
he can't, you know. Yeah.
Here's coaching rule number 42. Avoid using the word why.
Yeah, okay.
He doesn't know, and it just puts him on the defensive.
Yeah.
So try to avoid it. Seriously, it's just one of those words. Use after instead of if. Try not, there are a few of them. Try not to start a sentence with the word you. Never say why. Be careful of the word how. How puts our kids on the defensive a lot, too. How are you going to? Well, they don't know. That's a process question.
Right.
Right. So when you get curious, because what you're trying to do there is get curious. I hear you trying to get curious, but it's coming out.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what if for each of you we come up with a question that you can use with yourself when you want to get curious that doesn't carry the judgment with it?
That's great.
Yeah.
So take a minute and think about what might it be for you.
I think sometimes I do the catastrophizing too, and I need to think to myself, is this really the end of the world? This is not everything. You know, is this everything? No. A test score isn't everything. A clean bedroom isn't everything. It's not the end of the world. Is it that big? Is it that big of a deal?
How big is this?
Yeah.
The question
I just
asked
read
myself was, what's important about this to me?
Yeah.
I was just going to say that. I just read that. What's important here?
Oh, yeah, that Diane did,
you're,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yep. So, and then, so, you know, I said a little while ago, maybe you used the word wow.
Mm-hmm.
You may need something to give you a pause to reclaim, right? I'm trying to think of an example that I used to use with my kids where I had certain words that I would use that could be interpreted any way, like ducky. I'm just ducky, right? And woe is another one, or wow, or it's like something that's a placeholder for a minute for you to reclaim.
Mm-hmm.
Or wow, that's interesting. But to give yourself that moment of pause before you respond.
The trick in all of this for the last how many years I've been doing this is to remember to do that in the moment.
Yeah.
To stop myself long enough for half a second to think, wait a minute, just take a break, think this through, and then respond.
Yeah. So what are your tells? We were doing this interview yesterday. Diane and I were being interviewed by somebody. We were talking about, you know, we all have our tells that we're starting to get triggered. What are your tells, Julie?
It's probably a little bit into the me being triggered, but I kind of bring my hands together and kind of like go up and down with them. And so Mark will tease me. He'll go like that. And I'm doing it right now. You can't see me. So that's something physical that I'm doing that I don't even know that I'm doing until he points it out.
Okay. So.
And I'm sure there's more, but that's the one thing that comes to mind first.
Right. So on that one, it may be, you know, you may enroll him and even the kids, but certainly him to really point it out every time so that you can begin to see the pattern and begin to notice it. And notice if there's anything that happens first before it.
Right.
I notice it. I start running my hands through my hair and start sort of pulling my hair a little bit.
Hmm.
That's mine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people notice that their voice starts to get higher or lower. I have one person who they start getting quieter, not louder. You know. But if you start to do a little trigger journal, you start breathing.
Well, that's, you know, like the try to calm down breath.
but you're a fake calm down breath?
Well, I mean, I think I'm trying to calm myself down. And, you know, my kids will notice it too, because sometimes I'll do it and Declan will say, like, what? You know, what?
So if you're doing it, when you do it, do you do a longer, do you just think about it, do you do a longer exhale than inhale?
Yeah.
Okay. And so it may be that for you, if that works, it may be as simple as when you notice yourself doing it, keep going, do three instead of one.
Yeah, well, and maybe
or five instead
I
of
actually
three.
Was just kind of playing with it right now is maybe focusing on the inhale too, like really making it, because it's more of a longer exhale, but maybe just focus on the breath, like really focus on the breath.
Well, actually, what I will tell you, though, from a physiological perspective, is that if you take a bigger inhale than exhale, that's energizing. And if you take a bigger exhale than inhale, that's relaxing.
Oh.
So you want to try to focus on slowing the breath down. I used to be a yoga teacher. So you want to try to lengthen the exhale and really slow it down. It's not about a big exhale. It's about a slow as you can do it. That's what will calm you down.
Okay.
So for you, it may be playing with your breath. And Julie, it may help to do a trigger journal for yourself.
Yeah.
Just
it would
begin
help.
To notice when it happens and what you're responding to. Because if you're having a hard time catching yourself in the moment, let's try to get you out of the moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, you know, what jumps out at me is that, you know, both of you were taking aim on behaviors that you want to change in your kids, right? And of course, we end up with this conversation, as we always do, about how do we change our own approach, our own behavior,
mm-hmm.
because it's key. Because as soon as you're triggered, everything escalates, and you're no longer able to address any behaviors.
Right.
So there's management in the moment of your behavior, but I don't want to lose the notion that you still want to go back and address those other behaviors. You just don't want to do it at that moment. Right? Having a conversation with your daughter about what is going on when I ask you to do something. It seems like it's something you really don't want to do. I'm curious why or what's going on for you. Or say to your son, you've done a great job of getting off the technology when I ask you to, or doing what I ask you to do when you do. Or I just want you to know I'm really, really pleased with that. You're still a little snarky, and I'd like to start working on that, but I really want to acknowledge what you have done, right? And just raise the awareness for him as a first step. And similarly with you, Kara, to go to your son and say, like you're using, do you have a nicer way to say that? But to start being mindful that maybe at a different time to say, I know you. It's even okay to say, I know you don't mean to hurt my feelings, but it kind of, you know. But I think with your situation, I'd like you to do the language as a love thing first before you move into any kind of action. Really collect a little more data.
Yeah,
I'm not
sure
depending what's going on.
Right. Yeah, I think so too. Because the coming back to it later is sometimes hard because it's hard to get him to talk much, so it can.
Well, and you don't want any of these conversations for more than a minute. I mean, these are short.
Yeah.
These are not sit down and let's talk about it kinds of conversations. These are comments that you make.
Right. Okay.
To begin to slowly shift their behaviors. And for him, it's also catching him when he says something nice, when he asks you to do something nicely, to say, thank you for asking me so nicely. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. And I've been doing that. I have been doing that. And you know, and maybe even focusing on, like, he did give me a hug last night, which, and twice this week. And they were just like, maybe it was last week, I can't remember. But it was just, it just meant so much.
Yeah. And can I offer one more thing to you? I know we're about to wrap up, but with Mother's Day coming up, don't wait till Sunday to design what you want to do on Mother's Day with them. Have the conversation tonight and say, you know, Mother's Day is coming up. It's sort of hard for a single mom. Can we talk about, you know, and just set some expectations for yourself and for them or whatever so that they know you're thinking about it. And, you know, if you, I don't know what your expectations are, so I don't want to prescribe for you whether you're saying, you know, you guys don't have to do anything but just be nice to me, or, you know, I don't want breakfast in bed, but I'd like to do something with you, or whatever it is. But it's okay to have a transparent conversation about something like that, because there's no other adult in their life that's going to do that with them.
Yeah, well, and this weekend we have a Cub Scout camp out, which is always, it ends on Mother's Day.
Right.
And usually, I kind of dread it because it's a long day on Saturday, and he hasn't been sleeping this week. For some reason, he's been waking up at 6 in the morning, too, which I think is adding to everything. Because it's not, he needs like 10 hours of sleep, and he's getting like 8.5
or 9.
He's
exhausted.
Yeah, and this isn't going to help because we're camping. We're in a tent
right.
with like 120 other kids after a full day. He's going to be really deregulated on Mother's Day. And I know that because this is the third year we've done it.
mm-hmm.
So I think it's really going to be about managing my expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's okay. I just need to kind of figure that out. We're going to my sister, so I'll be, when I get there, I'll be pampered.
Somebody will take care of you, yeah.
My niece.
Well,
and it's okay to set the expectation before the weekend that, you know, by Sunday, you're going to be exhausted, I'm going to be exhausted, and tempers are going to flare, so we just have to try really hard to be nice to each other.
That's yeah, I like
that's
that.
That's what I always do when it comes to fam time.
Even with a husband, and you still have to set the expectation. You have to explain, this is what I want, and know that you have to do that.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
You just do. sort of silly, but you do.
Yes, you do.
But to really, it's okay to set the expectation for tensions are going to be high, or we're likely to be tired, and so it's going to be harder for everybody to be nice to each other. So we got to work extra hard today. Be nice to each other.
Yeah.
Right. That kind of thing. In our family, we call it rock and roll lifestyle. Because it usually happens when they've asked to stay up late for something. It's like, yep, you can, but remember rock and roll lifestyle. I got to get up the next morning.
I'm going to use that.
And we use it all the time. All the time. We've been using it for probably 15 years. It is one of the most effective tools we've got. And at first they push back. They're like, what do you mean rock and roll? They sleep all day. I'm like, no, they got to get up and get on the bus and get back on tour the next day.
Yeah.
All right. So what are y'all taking away? Because, Julie, I know you got to leave in a second.
Yeah,
what's your aha today?
I think... for me, on the in the household and the asking of chores and things like that, I need to go back to basics. So I know that wasn't really our topic, but it was a good reminder. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else on the commitments?
Well, we did have a chore list up on the wall, so I'll dig that out or make a new one. And yeah, maybe make a new one. And now it's going to be summer. That's
do it
a whole
with
other
them.
Set of chores. Okay.
Do it with them.
Okay.
Don't do it by yourself.
Okay.
And will you consider doing a little trigger journal for yourself?
Yes, I will consider that. I will figure out how to do that. Maybe I can do it on my phone and just find a little notepad on my phone and just do it there.
Yeah, just notice when things are ticking you off and when you're starting to react.
Yeah.
Kara, what about you? Okay.
Well, the Language of Love
right.
webinar. I'm going to listen to that. Well, I actually wrote down because I have it. I was just thinking I need to update their little short chart reward thing. But I like doing it with them. Takeaway is I was writing it down in two areas, and I have so much here. I'm actually listen to the webinar and
close your eyes for a minute. Don't read what's on your paper. What are you taking away from today? What's your aha? Take a deep breath and let it out.
Well, I think diffusing it for myself, which is finding that thing to remember, which I actually highlighted in a workbook, which is that he's having a hard time
being respectful right now.
Managing himself. He hasn't mastered this yet. He has challenges, and this isn't him acting out because he's a bad person. This is him acting out because he's having a hard time regulating. He's having a hard time regulating what it is.
Yeah, brilliant.
So I think I just, because I need to tell
that's a great mantra. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I'm going to write that down because there was something. Oh, ABI, assume best intentions. And I was
assume
like,
best intentions.
What is a good, and I said that to myself. Well, yeah, but it wasn't really working for me because I'm like, well, what is a good intention there? It's acting like that. Where is a good intention? Like, I couldn't see it. So I think it's more, for me, it's just going to say, you know, he's having a hard time regulating.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you got to make up a story that works for you. It doesn't help if it works for anybody else. It's got to work for you.
Yeah.
So, well done.
Yeah, because I don't see good intentions when he's being, you know.
Right.
When he's trying to make me do a step. I mean, it's like him literally throwing his clothes at me and telling me to put them in the laundry.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I hear you. All right, my dear.
Because I want to go.
Hang on one second.
I think so.